Got your Bibles? Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. A couple weeks ago, it was mentioned earlier when we were doing some testimonies that 2 weeks ago during our Back in the Game Sunday, I encouraged you strongly to start doing something every week. And that was to share, you know, a testimony or a word of encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort, which can be prophetic when the Holy Spirit gets on it, or, you know, a greeting. There's some sheets still someplace in the back, I think, if you didn't get to be part of that. Yeah, they're back on the table. And it was an exercise in giving you an opportunity. I know some of you probably went, I don't know. Don't know if I want to try to do that every day or not. But we called the message, you know, how to have an everyday encounter. And I do that. I try to do something every day. Sometimes it's just as simple as there's a guy at Walmart, and he's in a wheelchair, and I'm getting to know him by name. I won't say his name on this because it's going out over the air, but I'm getting to know him by name. And when I go in, I just greet him, just make him feel good, just tell him I'm glad to see him today. You know, that can be really powerful. Just making some, maybe I'll build a relationship with him. Maybe the building of that relationship with him will give me a chance to minister to him in a deeper way than just making him feel welcomed or loved or cared about or thought about. But it's very powerful. And this is something we can do every day and have encounters that Holy Spirit can then enter into and do great things. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, I talked to you about forward thinking. Forward thinking. Because, well, we got some stuff ahead of us, and we don't want to be looking back all the time. We want to be forward thinking. This week, I want to talk to you about transformed thinking. So Luke chapter 18, look at verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Before I go any further, that lose heart. Did anybody ever feel like you've lost heart a little bit? We don't say it that way these days. We have other terminologies. Like, do you ever feel like you've run out of steam? I've done that for years. I'm about done. I can't do that anymore. Lose heart. It's kind of the idea that's right here. So he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, give up, run out of steam, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet this widow troubles me. I will avenge her, lest her continual coming weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or it could be translated, interestingly enough, will he find this faith on the earth? So, as I was already saying, does anybody besides me ever get weary? Yeah. And sometimes it just seems like, you know, it's even easier to get weary than it used to be. The world is a little weirder than it used to be. And I'm kind of tired of it sometimes. Jesus understood, by the way, that temptation. You know, he was tempted in all things as we are, the scripture says. He understands that temptation to get weary, to lose heart. And so that's why he shared this parable with us. That's why this parable was put in the scripture. The Greek word for lose heart could also be translated get negative. Oh. In some versions, it's translated discouraged. Lots of different things, lots of different nuances to that word. I was watching Sid Roth probably over a decade ago. I was tuned in one day, and he had a guest named Dr. Julia Leaf. And she wrote a book called Who Switched Off My Brain? Some of you look at me and wonder that every time I get up, right? Who switched off my brain? In her book, she explains how the human brain creates structures for memories. And negative memories create these inflexible structures that look like dead branches. But positive memories create flexible structures that look like living plants. This isn't a metaphor. This is a reality. This is science. So negative things are hard and not flow. They don't flow easy. And positive things are much more flowing. The more negative structure a person has in their brain, the more dis-ease they will experience. When I say dis-ease, it shows up mentally in the form of they're just frustrated and disappointed more than they maybe need to be. Angry, battling, combative, resistant. But if the brain is filled with the positive structures, then they find that life goes better and they literally have less disease. And things just function naturally. So she said that negative thoughts literally become brain damage. Wow. Brain damage. Or as my friend Vic, who played football as a college kid, Dane Bramage. That's what he always says. Yeah, I played football in college. I didn't come out with any Dane Bramage. He likes to joke about it. Here's some good news. The negative structures can be transformed in about 21 days. If you set your mind to dealing with the negative things by filling yourself with positive things. I was talking to Kurt and Rhonda the other night. Kurt was helping me out with a cable that my grandson needed. And we were talking about the news, the three of us. And I've been trying to watch less of the news, and they've been trying to watch less of the news. Because the news will give you Dane Bramage. That's what it is. If you're not careful, the news can, you know, be a lot of processes that then I wasn't even thinking about this when I was talking to them. And then I realized this was in my notes, and I went, oh. Hmm. But it's just true. It's just the way things work. You the negativity can cause some real problems. But if you start filling your mind with positive things, worship music, good preaching, good teaching, wonderful conversations with friends, remembering the good things that God has done for you, the testimonies of everything that He's done in your life, all of a sudden you can start to change those structures so that they start to do this instead of doing this. Some of you have heard this verse more than just a few times because I quote it a lot. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I know I quote it a lot. When your mind is renewed, your whole being gets transformed. That's the point I'm trying to make this morning. When your mind starts to get renewed, your whole being can be affected. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever said, well, that's just the way I am? when it comes to something you do. Or that's just the way I was raised. Or that just runs in my family. You ever say things like that? I have. Because there are things that run in our family. We've been brought up our whole life to think, well, this is just going to be part of your life because you got that in your DNA. Right? People do that all the time. What if transformational thinking or transformed thinking could change that? And not just the way you think, but literally how your body functions. How you go about your day. How you approach life. Dr. Leaf said, when your body, when your mind is renewed, it can literally change your DNA. Wow. Yeah, I know. I was raised in a family that behaved this way, and it goes back 100,000 years in our family, you know, and everybody always did this and that. And this is, well, here's the thought. What if you just get transformed into a new family? I think that it really is important that we do all that we can do to avoid stinking thinking. Because stinking thinking leads to us becoming weary and well-doing. And it doesn't help our lives. And it's a form, if you will, of brain damage. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Don't let the enemy ever make you think that there is any benefit in giving up. A while back, I heard a preacher talking about an experience he had where he was just praying for people. He was not speaking that day, and he's in a large church, and he was just going through during a worship time, and he was just taking an opportunity to touch some people and pray for them, and everybody seemed to love it. He gets back to one lady and he starts to touch her. And when he does, he gets this weird feeling that he wants to kill himself. And he kind of, that's weird. And he walks away and he prays for a couple other people and that feeling's not still there. And he goes back and prays for the lady again and he felt like he didn't want to live anymore. Wonder why, he was thinking. What does that mean? What does that look like? What's going on? So he just asked her, he says, is there, are you okay? She was a prominent member in the church. Are you okay? And she looked at him and she says, why would you ask that? You know, normally people respond with, yeah, I'm fine, or no, I'm having a tough time. And she just looks and says, why would you ask that? And he goes, well, I just had this weird feeling when I was praying for you that maybe you felt like you just didn't want to live anymore. And she starts crying, and it was the word of the Lord. But what was really interesting was she had been watching a family member go through something that was really hard. And her thought was, I think it was a grandson. Her thought was, you know, I wouldn't have to go through all this disappointment, frustration, and pain for that family member if I wasn't alive. And he says, I think you just came into agreement with something you shouldn't come into agreement with. And she went, oh. Because she literally had said it out loud. How many of us, again, going back to that thing that I mentioned a minute ago, you know, well, my dad was like that, and it's just nothing I can do about it. Or my mom was like that, nothing I can do about it. That was the way, you know, that just runs in our family, da 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 da, and we just have that. Do we ever do that? Yeah, sure we do. I mean, even in my family, I'm not sure I want to change this, but we call it Orvilleitis. My grandpa, Orville Boulder, could whisper, and you could hear it in the next county. And I've noticed that I have loud children and grandchildren. Man, my grandkids are loud. All of them are loud. Every last one of them is loud. And that could be a negative or it could be a positive. You know, I mean, if you're supposed to get up and speak in front of people, it's nice that you can project a little bit. You know, so that's not a bad thing. But this is something that we do on a kind of a regular basis, isn't it? Where we just say these things because mama said it and great-grandma said it. And, you know, and this is just the way it is. Oh, yeah, you're just like your dad, blah, 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 blah. And they speak it over you. And then it begins to form structures in your thinking. But what if you could renew your mind and those structures would go away? Now, think about this verse. What does the scripture say? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, some things are new. Did I say that wrong? It doesn't say some things are new. All things are new. All things are new. So I don't care what your DNA is doing. Your DNA can be undone because God can do a new things. I just sang that song in our song service. He makes all things new. What if God is wanting to do some new things in you that are beyond anything you could have imagined? What if he's more anxious to do new things for you than the unjust judge was for the little lady in the parable? But in the parable, the unjust judge did it anyway because, you know, this woman's going to wear me out. I believe we serve a God who just adores you, who just loves you, who just wants to bless you, who is excited to touch you and to minister to you and to take care of you. Question, do you think God knows anything about your DNA? I know the Mormons have a lot of DNA on file out there in the West, whether you realize it or not. Some of these DNA groups are connected to the Mormon church because they're keeping track and they're just trying to keep. It has to do with some things they believe, and I won't bore you with all that, but here's the point. God knows more than they do, a whole lot more. Now, we've done the DNA thing. Did any of you do the DNA thing? Yeah, we've done the DNA thing. I thought I would be more German than anything with the last name Hacker because it comes from the Black Forest and it was a guy who cut wood, but I found out I'm not German. I'm English. I'm very English. And, you know, Wales and Scotland, and I got some Swedish things going on, you know. Lisa and I were looking for American Indian because I've told you this before. I think we were told we had relatives, ancestors, American Indians. I had a great-grandma Cherokee Birch who was supposed to be either half or a whole Cherokee. And I've seen a picture. She looks like an Indian. She wasn't. There's not a drop of American Indian in my blood anywhere. And Lisa thought, she was told she had this little birthmark, and she was told, yeah, that's because you're Cherokee. Yeah, she's not Cherokee. However, somewhere along the line goes all the way back to the Congo. So if our reparations ever come, we're going to... No, we're not. Think about it. God knows more about your DNA than anyone. He didn't give you the DNA he gave you so that DNA would be a hindrance to you. He gave it to you so it would be a help to you. And God, who makes all things new, if he has to fix something in the DNA, that's not a problem. And according to Dr. Leaf, you literally could have your DNA changed if you change the structures, or at least how the DNA functions electronically as it runs through those little structures and all those impulses and all those things go. What could I do to change myself? And could I do it in 21 days? Even more, do I have to wait 21 days or can God do it because he's God? Think about that a little bit. You know, 21 days of me putting myself in a position where I'm receiving from God and changing from the negatives to the positives can change me and make my life less stressful and more alive. I like that idea. 21 days. Does anybody ever heard of a thing in the Bible that was 21 days? Wasn't there this guy named Daniel? Wasn't his Daniel fast for 21 days? Maybe I'm just getting that mixed up because so many churches have done a 21-day Daniel fast, and it really wasn't 21 days in the Bible, but the churches all just did it. You know, we're going to have a Daniel fast. They proclaim a fast, and everybody, you know, Daniel fast was just eating positive things rather than the things that he considered being negative. And after 21 days, literally the king could see the difference between the two. What if we got in some new habits? What if we took 21 days and just said, you know, I'll just start here and do something different for 21 days and fill my life with more positivity for 21 days and be encouraged more for 21 days and just maybe turn off some of the input that's negative for 21 days and see if that doesn't bring me into a new dynamic where my mind gets renewed. Maybe you do want to do some kind of a fast or some kind of a cleanse or some kind of a something, but I'm just suggesting that God, I believe, gives us opportunities to not grow weary in well-doing and to be the kind of person who will then pursue God. Maybe you just declare for 21 days, I'm going to keep after God, just like that widow could keep bugging him about this. This is a little different today. I realize that. But I'm feeling like God wants to start to work some things in some of us. And maybe we've been frustrated, and maybe over the last couple of years especially, things that used to be normal got changed, and now you can't even find normal anybody anymore. Anybody have that problem besides me? It's like things are just weird. I still find myself walking into certain places and all of a sudden reaching for wondering where my mask is. And it took me forever to get to that point because I would get to the door and then turn around. How many of you did that a bunch of times? And I don't know what the world's going to look like in the future, but I do know this. I can either have a positive outlook at what God's going to do based on last week's message, looking forward, expecting God to do good things because God is in a good mood and he loves me all the time. And I could either move forward expecting good things from God in my future, or I can allow the negativity of the world around me to create structures inside of me that probably won't help me, body, soul, or spirit. Just a thought. Just want to see people get set free. So, just everybody for a second. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. Don't look around the room. Because I just want to ask a simple question. I'm going to look around the room, but I want the rest of you not to look around the room. So, okay. How many of you would say, you know, Pastor Tim, I have felt extremely weary and beat down. And this is just a season where I really would like to get some positive momentum going again in my life. If that's you, just put your hand up real quick and then put it back down. Yeah, that was maybe more than didn't. Okay, and I understand that, and that's not a negative toward you. There have been some times during recent days where it was just like all right, let's stand up. Now, I'm not going to say who was who or what was what, but see if you can get near somebody so that two of you can be together. At least two or more. Two or three in a little group right here. Here we go. That's working good. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's what I believe is probably true. Some people raised their hand, and that was awesome. That was brave. Because, you know, if you move or flinch at all, the person sitting next to you knows you did something. So it was brave. Not everybody in the room knew, but you put yourself out there where, And then some people didn't move, but they're thinking, yeah, well, nobody's business. I mean, we're like that, right? Nobody's business what I'm going through. But I want to pray over you, and I want you to pray over each other today. And I want to just believe that today God can flip a few switches or make a few adjustments by his Holy Spirit that will trigger something in you, and that you'll get a picture in your mind of something that you can do to start to restructure your thinking, to go from inflexible and hard and not easy, that God will just give you some pictures in your mind that will cause you to say, you know, I could do this. I could do this. So, you know, you don't have to pray real loud, but if you want to get a little loud with somebody nearby you, that's fine. But I'm going to pray, and we're just going to agree together. We're going to agree together that God's going to work in these areas in the lives of everyone in the room. Because we all have more negative influences than we want, don't we? Whether we try to avoid them or not, they're almost impossible to avoid. So, Father, here we are, Lord, touching one another. We bless one another, Lord. We say blessings on the person that we're in contact with. We ask you to strengthen the person that we're in contact with. We ask you to give them understanding, Lord, for their life and for your ministry through their life. We ask you to give them a sense, Lord, of ability, that the disability of the enemy, that the breakdowns that he would like to keep them from doing what you want them to do, that those things would be broken off as we indeed begin to see the structures in our thinking go from negative to positive, where, Lord, there would be so much positivity, it would affect us, soul and spirit, and even in our body, Lord, that we would get changes that would transform and make a difference. And so, Lord, we just ask you, we ask you to let us weary not in well-doing now. We ask you to cause us to be like that woman, Lord, in the initial scripture who just kept asking. And we believe, God, you want to answer. You're ready to answer. You're anxious. And so cause us not to give up, Lord, but cause us to have that attitude, that spirit that says, I will keep pursuing what God has for me, and I will find my way through to what he wants to do. And we just believe, God, you're going to do that in the lives of everybody here. Amen. Now, just say this over somebody. Or say, bless them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Fill them with life. Fill them with strength. Give them positive thoughts. Help us all, Lord, to remember how good you are every day. To rejoice in how good you are. To find something every day to thank you for. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.